The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live.
Dean Mackin.
This is the Dean Mackin Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, how are we doing? It is hump day. We are after that very important part of the working week where, you know, it's got the shorter side. Well, if you're over in the UK, yeah, you do have Wednesday to get through. We've just done Wednesday here, so only a couple of days to get to that fantastic weekend. Well, I shall again go through some sort of technical detox and with every intention of getting my boat out this weekend. Have you got a boat or something, a motorbike or a, you know, some sort of car that just sits there you've spent a fortune on and you never use it? That's me. And I need to start using these things to justify their existence and to get out there and enjoy life. What's the point? I used to, where I grew up in Marrickville, I had so many wonderful Greek friends, and their parents were the hardest workers you had ever met. 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, never took holidays. And then you couldn't help but think, despite the fact that, you know, they got to leave their children or, you know, buy them a house, for example, when they got married, the parents never got to enjoy it. They never got to enjoy it. And I learned a lesson from some of those wonderful people who I love dearly. They were like second parents to me, some of them up the road, my mate Con Pacos. But I did learn from those very hardworking individuals that you do have to get out there and enjoy your life at the same time. There's no point just going and making money and working, is there? You've got to have some fun. Lots to talk about. Nikki Haley, bye-bye. Super Tuesday feels even more super when you find out that she just got made a mockery of, and she was funded up the yazoo by all the usual suspects, somebody that they really wanted to run against Trump somehow. You know, they'll try and twist it. They'll try and make it so Donald Trump can't run. That's what they're working towards. But the momentum, far too strong, I believe, for them to stop him. But they're not smart enough to know that. They'll keep trying. Doesn't matter if it's legal or not. They'll find a loophole. If not, they'll make a loophole. And there are literally Democrats over there at the moment because they failed in the Supreme Court because the states didn't have the power to stop him from being on the ballot. They are going to create new laws and try and do it. It's just unbelievable. Talk about last minute panic. And it has set in a big way. If I was Anthony Albanese, well, I don't know if I'd panic because, you know, nothing is going to come of this. But it's good to know that he's been referred to the ICC for, wait for it, complicity in genocide. I'll read you a part of this. The Australian government and its most senior officials have both failed to prevent or respond to the genocide committed by Israel against Palestinians in Gaza and has been complicit in the carrying out of this genocide in a manner which falls squarely within Article 25(3)(c) and or D of the Rome Statute of the ICC. State Birchgrove Legal in a communique to the Officer of the Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. So there you go. That's what's happening with Anthony Albanese. Now, him and Penny Wong have been rather silent in regards to that, and they feel quite comfortable ignoring it. And they shall. They shall completely ignore it. Of course, if that was Vladimir Putin or North Korea, they'd be carrying on about it. It would be all over the front page of the paper day after day after day. If, of course, Vladimir Putin was to go and indiscriminately kill a bunch of women and children, it would be all you would hear about. But when Israel does it, it's okay. It's okay. And Anthony Albanese, despite the bulk, and I do mean the bulk of his supporters, many of those, for example, the Labor Party in Western Sydney, being people of Middle Eastern backgrounds who typically have voted for Labor because they get a lot of free stuff. They like free stuff. Everyone does, but they get a tremendous amount of good free stuff. But here is him having to toe the party line and really show who his allegiance is to. And it's not those who are voting for Labor about the place. They only pretend to do that. And the division serves them well. But on this particular matter, they can't pretend anymore. They have to show who they really are loyal to. Their masters would not be overly happy there in the, well, it's, you can't say just the Labor Party. They've got the same group controlling both. But of course, Labor Party run on the premise that they are all good, that they are all for multiculturalism and fairness and whatnot. And that certainly isn't the case. So Penny Wong and Anthony Albanese, see how you go in the international court there after that particular little bombshell for you. The other thing as well, and I think you'll be happy, the article reads, anger as local council scraps acknowledgement of country. at every meeting and offers up some bizarre two-sentence alternative. You can tell that came off the ABC or some sort of left-wing website, and I didn't take note of where I got that. But I'll tell you what I did take note of, and that is the simple fact that it's not most of us will be very happy. I would suggest up to 96% of Australia would be particularly happy about that, maybe even more. And this is in a place, I'll just find out where it is. It's Narrakoorte, however you pronounce that, N-A-R-A-C-O-O-R-T-E, Narrakoorte, I don't know, Lucindale Council. And they voted last week to replace the traditional acknowledgement that paid respect to the past and present traditional owners of the ancestral lands. Why don't they talk about ancestral lands over in Europe, I wonder? Isn't that odd? Isn't that very odd? Anyway, apparently they don't. It only matters some places. I'll go on. Sorry to get sidetracked with that. Now, that was limestone. Yeah, South Australia's limestone coast region. The opening prayer has also been scrapped following a recent review of council meetings by Mayor Patrick Ross. He sounds like somebody I'd like and you might like. Now, of course, what has happened is they have been referred to others who aren't too happy, you know, the usual suspects. Now, this is a place with a population of just under 9,000 people. And of that 9,000, believe it or not, up to 25% of them, according to this, were born overseas from countries such as Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Syria. So what they are doing makes sense because there's 25% of your population and you are only appealing to, I think, 4% of the population before. So you've just upped it by 21%. I know you don't really care about the 96% as a whole who would probably rather have none of this particular nonsense. I don't think you particularly care about that, and you probably don't. But at the end of the day, this is terrific. Of course, there is a particular group, and it is the, who was it? I'll just find out who this group was. The Reconciliation South Australia group have decided to make an example of them because this little town with only 9,000 people are being dragged into the mainstream media because they dare to scrap Welcome to Country. And let's hope this catches on. Let's hope it catches on like the plague, but in a good way. I hope that is the case, but they will be made an example of. And but if they stand firm, then we may see some common sense returning to our councils and our possibly even state. Forget state and federal politics. They're gone. It has to start on a local level, and let's hope that is the case. Now, TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what the others only say they do. It's a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do. We're crisscrossing the globe. We're providing credible news and opinion all day and night. And in the 2.5 years that TNT has been around, we've become a very credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must now pull out the misinformation and the propaganda from the mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. So we are now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world, if you could, to go to the tntradio.live website and make a small donation while TNT seek out the right investors to go forward and continue this very important work that we do here. We'll be back with Gemma Cooper right after this.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, Gemma, you're very lucky over there because you are the indigenous population. You don't have to be welcomed to your own country, even though it is yours. And I would suggest that the European population starts doing welcome to country. I think it would be an app. You can welcome all the people that are coming across legally and illegally as we have to sit and suffer through here prior to sports games, meetings, TV programs, especially on our national broadcaster, the ABC, anything produced by them. You've got to sit through a welcome to country text at the beginning. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, I've just been doing a little bit of research about this welcome to country because obviously I know a little bit more about Australian politics and culture now than I did before I started working for TNT, although I had a lot of friends from school who did their gap year in Australia many, many years ago and never came back. They just fell in love with the country, and I absolutely understand why. But the welcome to country thing, yeah, I wasn't aware that you did that on such a scale. I'd rather wonder what it would look like here, welcome to country. I've got visions of endless buffet tables with cream teas and fish and chips people get off the boats and we're like, welcome to England, you know, very welcome to country. But of course, we've been invaded and we're so many different cultures within us, German, the Vikings, the French, you know, we've got all kinds of a mishmash of cultures because that's how life goes. Sometimes you are the invader, sometimes you're invaded. That is the way that the history is formed. That's the way the world turns, as it were. Now it's kind of more invasion on a digital basis, I think. Cultures are kind of amalgamating in one big kind of online global presence. But of course, we do have the immigration problem still, just like you guys do, and just like America does. And just like in America this year for us, it's the hottest issue at the polls, just like I suspect it will be for Trump, as you've just been discussing there. But yeah, welcome to country. Well, what does it really mean? When you think of how people have shifted and moved and wars, it's a difficult one to kind of pin down.
I don't think any of us know what it means. We know what it does. It divides us further. I mean, there was no problem, absolutely no problem here. A big melting pot, if you will. And I mean, I grew up in the most multicultural part of New South Wales, which was a suburb named Marrickville. And we all got along famously. Lots of, you know, Indigenous, Aboriginal people there, and they were just your mates. They were just, you know, the other guy. You know, you never thought of them differently, and they never thought about a welcome to country and all the rest of it. And they when you go to a major sporting event, this is what they do. So I'm at the State of Origin, there's 80,000 people there, and they say, will you all please stand for Welcome to Country, at which point nobody would, and our national anthem. And because they tie them in together, everybody stands. Well, not everybody. I never, ever stand. I stay seated until the national anthem. And I just look around thinking, am I literally the only one? Or besides my son, and he's been doing it since he was 8, I gave him the option of standing. I said, mate, everyone else is standing. If you want to stand, you can stand. No, Dad, I'll sit with you, and for the same reasons. And it's just absolutely ridiculous how they hijack people into doing this, because most people roll their eyes, they give each other sideways looks, they don't like it, yet they stand anyway, and they have to stay seated. If everybody in that stadium stayed seated just the one time, I don't think they'd dare do it again.
But doesn't that remind you of something though, Dean? You know, that's virtue signaling. You don't want to be the odd one out. You don't believe it, but you go along with it. Hello, 4 years ago, people that didn't believe it, but still put their masks on. People that didn't believe it, but still went down the one way thing. People that didn't believe it, but still did the social distancing, the 6 meters or whatever, because they didn't have the, you know, what I don't want to, you know, backbone, courage. Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing again, isn't it? Oh, I don't want to stand out. I don't want to stand up for what I really believe in, or sit down for what I really believe in, you know, and that's the problem, isn't it? Although I think the tide is shifting on that one. And just going back to, you know, I know that you've talked about your Scottish heritage. Well, of course, look at what happened in the Highlands of Scotland, the clearances, where, you know, all of the clan families were just driven out by wealthy landowners and had to make their fortunes in other countries. I mean, your ancestors arrived in Australia. You know, you could argue, and I think there is a movement for it in Scotland about returning to thinking about what Indigenous meant to that country. So, there is a conversation to be had, but it's not about division, as you say. It's about everybody understanding and then still getting along. It's a nuanced issue. You can't ignore people's history, but then everybody's got one. Everybody has got a tale to tell about their ancestry, about where they came from, and about the way that they've been shaped. It's not just specific to one country or one culture. It's a big thing.
Well, it's good if you know Vladimir Putin, who did a terrific job explaining the history of Russia when he spoke with Tucker Carlson, and it was very interesting the way he did it. And he uses history to shape the future and saying, well, this is what your ancestors would have wanted you to do. But in this country, they use our history to beat us across the head like a battering ram. They are taking down statues and monuments left, right, and center for fear that they would offend people. They are literally rewriting our history, and it's frightening. I mean, literally, they'll be taking books out of schools. They already are. And they'll be taking archives off the internet that don't agree with people soon. That's where we're headed. And it makes you wonder, looking back historically over thousands of years, how much do we really know about where we come from? Because people just keep rewriting the rules to suit themselves.
That's an extremely good point. And we've obviously had the same in the UK with statues coming down and trying to redress the narrative, rewrite the narrative. But then you've got no context then. If everyone's constantly writing it to suit their own, I'm offended agenda, I wish it had never have happened, so I'll take this statue down. Yeah, there may be many things you wish had never have happened, but they did happen. And without context, you can't have a debate. And you're quite right. It's a really good point to make about just, you know, you can't keep rewriting it because there'll be nothing left. There will literally be nothing left. We should really talk about a big story here in the UK, shouldn't we? Run out of time.
Go for it, please.
This is hump day, though. We tend to get a bit philosophical, you and I, on hump day.
We do.
But really, we do. The big story here in the UK is obviously the budget. In the next few hours, we're going to see if all the leaks in all the mainstream outlets about what's likely to happen are true. It looks like the Chancellor is going to cut the national insurance tax rate. A controversial move because a lot of people don't understand national insurance as opposed to income tax. And it was introduced last year, actually, in the autumn statement, and it didn't garner any approval opinion poll increase for the Tory party. But it looks like that's what will happen. And keeping the 5p on fuel duty, because fuel's very expensive at the moment. A tax on vaping products and help for first-time buyers are also being mooted. But what won't get any money, and this is definite, is the NHS and also defence, which is controversial considering everybody's talking about World War III and the need to improve the UK military. That's where the budget stands at the moment. Labour are 20 points ahead in the polls. The Tory party hope that today's budget will go some way into getting them some votes. They've got a long way to go. We'll know more about this in a few hours' time, and I'll keep listeners and viewers updated on further TNT shows today.
It'll be interesting to see how far they are ahead in the polls if they do what they did in Rochdale and campaign on the Israel-Gaza conflict, because that had a significant 44% swing against Labor, and I'd love to see that here. I was talking to Mr. Craig Kelly, who's now switched to from our United Australia Party to One Nation, and I suggested to him that in certain electorates up in Queensland, they should have a candidate who pushes for that also so they can get some lower house seats. I think it would be a good idea. But anyway, I digress. Gemma Cooper, love your work. As always, you'll be back next hour with Sonia Poulton, and I'm looking forward to us having a chat tomorrow.
Thank you, Dean. See you tomorrow.
We'll be back after this with Matilda Borden.
TNT's Mark Morano.
Brain implants. Are you ready to have your thoughts read, your mood altered? It's not science fiction. It's not some realm of the future. It's here. It's now. And it's not spectacular.
In the case of Emily, the patients actually can record themselves and we're able to analyze it.
If I had crippling depression, was suicidal, I'm not going to turn down a treatment like this. I'm not knocking someone for doing that. What I'm saying is this is really on the edge of a brave new world, especially given corporate government collusion, the Great Reset goal of taking away freedom, democracy, private property. One of the tenets of the Great Reset from the World Economic Forum is you will have no privacy and life will never be better.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. If you're still wearing a cloth or surgical mask around in public, you're guilty of spreading COVID misinformation. It really is that simple. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back to the program. I would go ballistic. If I went into a hospital and I had some surgery that really needed to happen, and if that surgery didn't happen, some of my internal organs could suffer, could potentially fail. And if I went into a hospital and they said, we're going to stick this thing up your nose, we're going to test you for COVID, something that is just now beyond ridiculous. And if you don't succumb to this, and God knows what is on the end of that tip that they stick into your nose, into your blood-brain barrier, and just absolutely not. And they said to me, well, we're not going to do this unless you succumb to this. I would go ape shit. I would absolutely just go ballistic. I would go bonkers. And that's exactly what happened to my next guest. Matilda Borden is a forensic social worker and a former national secretary of the Whistleblowers Australia. She's the founding member of the Community Linkages, Inclusion and Innovation Centre, Matilda has extensive experience specializing in complex and compounding psychosocial barriers, including child protection, homelessness, poverty, hoarding, squalor, and disabilities, and now medical apartheid. Matilda Borden, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dean.
Horrific. I'm lost for words. You wrote a very nice, well-worded, very calm, far calmer than I could possibly have been had I written that letter. I don't think they'd ever allow me back into that hospital had that been me. So at the end of the day, you basically didn't get this stent put in that would have allowed you to, it was an easy way out. It was a nice, quick fix for your medical problem. You can go into detail if you wish. But
yeah, that's fine.
I won't even use the N word, you know, that rhymes with paparazzi. I won't do that. But there are people in these hospital systems. Now, you didn't have to have that. Other people had said no to this particular, you know, having something jammed up your nose, you know, or a PCR test, whatever, and still been allowed to have surgery. Why did they pick on you, for God's sake? And what a bad choice that was to pick on you. I wouldn't pick on you.
Look, in all honesty, mate, I have no idea. You know, the luck of the draw, who knows? I mean, you know, you only need one in the system to spoil it for everybody else. The truth of the matter is, once I entered the Royal Adelaide Hospital, now just for the background for your viewers, for your listeners, I had kidney stones, right? Now, it's not the first time I've had kidney stones, a couple of times. Generally speaking, I've passed it after a couple of weeks. It's gone back to my normal state of affairs. But this time the kidney stone was about 6 millimeters. Now I'm told that that's on the cusp of whether or not they would actually, you know, do a laser or some other surgical procedure to physically remove it. No matter, it gave me enough grief, and then it ended up lodging in my bladder. So it was really, really hard to, you know, obviously pass urine and things like that. So I was in and out. And they kept telling me if I continue getting pain to come back. Now this happened over the space of more than a month, right? Finally, the day comes when they decide that's it. We're going to do something about it because it's kind of, you know, really bothersome and it's still causing me pain. So they're giving me all sorts of pain relief, which incidentally works. But of course, you know, when I'm trying to function and work, it's a bit difficult. It's a bit of a challenge. So they were just about ready to pretty much, you know, wheel me in. They'd fasted me overnight. I'd actually fasted. And pretty much ready to gown up. And then some nurse somewhere decided, oh, you're going to have to do a rat test. Right now, I understand it's not a PCR test. It's a rat test. Now, most people have said to me, well, you have to do a spit on it. They wouldn't allow me to spit on it. They were going to force me to put a swab in my mouth or up my nose. Now, no way on God's green earth am I going to do that. I don't care. You can put me on my deathbed. It's not going to happen. But, you know, the reason I complained is really not for me and my sake. And I don't generally go advertising my health concerns to the public. I hardly ever really even tell my family and friends until, of course, I'm in hospital and then everybody panics. Oh, my God, what's going on? But the reason I'm doing this is purely because I actually had a client about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, who ended up in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. She has disabilities, and she made it crystal clear she didn't want the PCR test, and that was the one that went straight up to your nose. Like, that was the big, long one.
Yep.
And she made it crystal clear she did not want that. And she was being treated for, you know, some side effects or you know, repercussions of her epilepsy. She had pretty severe seizures. And anyway, they then decided that they were going to force it on her. And they did force it on her, even though she declined. She did not want it. And when she resisted and when she fought back against that stuff being shoved up her nose, they called a code black. And then they beat her black and blue. Right. And then they had her effectively, she was deemed to be mentally incompetent or incapacitated. They even put security out the front of her room because she resisted having that swab stuck up her nose. And then they were going to force, and they did force, a spinal tap on her. Ooh. She made it crystal clear she did not want the spinal tap, but they forced it on her. Now, so the reason I'm speaking out is it's really, yeah, okay, it's an inconvenience to me. It's bothersome, you know. It's annoying. I'm sure I will survive it, and odds are, you know, statistically, I might get through it without any long-term side effects. But this isn't about me, and that's the only reason I'm speaking out about this particular issue. This is about the little tyrants that they employ in this health system, in the hospitals, you know, in your doctor's surgeries. These are the would-be little, you know, COVID marshals and the Nazis that are given a little bit too much power to decide whether or not they're going to actually allow you to enjoy your so-called consumer rights when you come in as a patient anywhere, right?
Wow.
This is also, you know, not that long ago, you know, I watched a movie about, you know, organ harvesting in China and so on. This isn't just about whether or not we're being treated properly in the Royal Adelaide Hospital or in the Queen Elizabeth. It's not unique to South Australia. This is in general, whether we have any human rights as patients, as consumers of these health services, and what does it actually mean to be respected in that system, to enjoy your bodily autonomy. Now, we are not in a state of emergency. There is no pandemic. There are no real mandates, although they're still enforcing this kind of nonsense. But strictly speaking, we are now past that. Surely we should go to pre-COVID mandates and lockdown practices, but we're not. They're keeping these things alive, right? So it's not like we are now suddenly released from all of the BS that we had to put up with for 4 years. They're continuing it on. And I think that they will keep squeezing and squeezing. I mean, how long before, for example, I don't know, somebody decides it's all for the benefit of the, you know, the greater good for the public, for all of us to be compelled to donate 1 litre of blood before we walk into emergency? Huh? Wouldn't that be a wonderful community service? Suddenly we'll have blood banks full of blood, right? Yeah. And what's that to you if you have to go in and have your broken toe fixed? What's the big deal? How far can they push this sort of nonsense on people, right?
Yeah. It really is horrific.
So absurd.
I mean, I applaud your decision not to stick that thing up your nose, because they've proven we cannot trust them medically,
no,
right?
Absolutely.
And there were all those horror stories, and I don't know if they're true, but I did hear that there was some chemical found in antifreeze that was highly toxic,
right,
that was part of, you know, what was on the tip. I remember when I was running as part of the UAP, and we all got invited to hang out with Clive Palmer on his boat, yep, for the day, and we all had to test ourselves. And I know all the candidates, so a lot of them, and we were there dribbling onto this thing, because none of us were ever going to stick it up our noses. Funnily enough, well, it's not funny, Clive caught COVID from a group of people on the boat. I didn't have COVID, so it wasn't me, so it's fine. I know who did. But anyway, the point being, there was no way under any circumstances for anybody or any reason or any amount of money I would have stuck one of those things up my nose, because I don't trust them.
No, I don't trust them. But over and above that, this is really about me and what choice of treatments,
yes,
I have for myself, right? Now, of course, they go down the path of, well, it is your choice and nobody's forcing you to take it, okay?
But if you don't,
yeah,
here comes the coercion.
Exactly. If you don't, you can't get your heart transplant, as we know, you know, with that young lady, Dazelle. You know, they won't give her the lung transplant.
Wait, can I ask what's happening with her? I haven't heard anything in regards to her for a while.
I haven't caught up.
We'll have to check.
I'm not up to date, but, you know, it's the same tyranny. It's the same thing. You know, you will be vaxxed, you know, 5, 6, 20 times, however many times we tell you, before you can have your lung transplant or heart transplant. It doesn't really matter. This is about just drawing a line in the sand. And I'm saying, for me, I'm not going there. I'm,
yep,
not going there, you know. But sadly, my client from 2 years ago, she was pummeled. She was beaten black and blue. And then they, you know, had the audacity to issue 2 code blacks on her because she didn't want the spinal tap and she didn't want the PCR test way up her nose, right? And they also didn't allow her to have an advocate or a family member or somebody by her side when they were doing these procedures, right? It's just obscene. And we're dealing with a woman with a high level of anxiety, with a disability of her own.
Yep.
And she's not alone. She is not alone. There are so many other people with disabilities that would have a high state of anxiety going into a hospital and then being subjected to all of these intrusive procedures. Now, in the end, sure, you know, you can always say, oh, well, I know that the trolls online are going, oh, you know, you were such a baby, or what's the big deal about sticking, you know, a swab up your nose? This isn't about that. In fact, I actually offered them saliva, blood, or urine, right? They already had the cannula in my arm. They had,
yep,
the cannula in my arm. They could have drawn blood. And I wouldn't have cared if it needed 24, 48 hours for them to go and test it. I would have happily paid for it. None of those things were given to me as an option, right?
Yep.
But I just chose not to do that kind of stupidity. But get a load of this. You can find so-called COVID on pizza boxes and footballs. Okay? But
and
you can't
of course
find it in my split blood or urine.
But here's the thing.
I don't think so.
All these doctors, all these nurses, you know, they're not sequestered in the hospital. They can go out. They're mingling with people in supermarkets, shopping centres. They're out and about it, you know, going to karaoke, spitting on each other's microphones, doing all of this, and yet they want to test you. It is beyond ludicrous. There is absolutely no train of logic that could suggest that they are in the right.
Mate, I could have maybe... You know, if you really wanted to stretch the argument, if I came in with a sniffle or I was coughing or I was sneezing and spluttering, okay, well, you know, maybe you could make a little bit of a case. I still think it's a stretch, but no matter.
Matilda, hold that thought. We've got news headlines that I'm 3 minutes late for, and then we'll continue on the other side. This is TNT. I'm Dean Mack, and that's Matilda Borden, and this is our news headlines.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. A British politician famous for his anti-establishment views has rattled Downing Street following a landslide election win on Friday.
Now our democracy itself is a target.
I don't respect the Prime Minister at all.
The race for the White House appears to be run and done for Republican Nikki Haley after the party's clear frontrunner Donald Trump dominated Super Tuesday, and North Korea's accused the US and South Korea of planning an invasion.
On air
and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Biden, he's lost the plot. North Korea and South Korea, they're about to get invaded, South Korea, because apparently their birth rate is so low. They're thinking one of the first Asian countries ever to look at mass immigration. Didn't work for us. Not going to work for you, South Korea. Take my word. In fact, they'll be wanting to move to North Korea after a couple of years. I'm back with Matilda Borden. She's absolutely phenomenal, who has just undergone medical apartheid. And how horrific it is that there is no logical reason that they could have done what they did. And what you told me about your friend, and I've heard some horror stories about spinal taps. I've had other people describe them, women, as they would rather get teeth extracted without anesthetic than get another one of those things. That's and there are just too many things that can go wrong. And there was the woman saying, no, wow.
And they literally beat her black and blue. And without a word of a lie, I've got photographs and videos that can show you how badly beaten she was. She was beaten so badly that I actually thought, and the carer that came in with me to the hospital, we thought she was in a car accident or she was beaten so badly. The injuries on her were quite horrific. And they wanted me to delete all the photographs and all the evidence off my phone.
Of course they did. Yeah.
Of course they did. Had we not taken that photographic and video evidence of her injuries and she had gone home, I will guarantee you 1,000,000% her husband would have been blamed for physically abusing her.
Oh, yeah.
There would have been no way he could have defended himself from that kind of accusation, and I reckon that would have almost certainly happened because those injuries were shocking. But this is a woman who wasn't making an impulsive decision or anything. She just knew, she crystal clear knew and understood. She didn't want it for herself. She didn't need to explain it or rationalize it. I mean, when I was in the hospital, they were asking me, have you got an anxiety about these things? It's not about an anxiety. This is simply a choice of mine not to stick something in my body that I don't want, right? You know, where do you draw that line? Where does that stop? I used to work in the mental health services, and especially during the deinstitutionalization period here in South Australia, when people were coming out of the institutions and going out into the community, late 80s, early 90s. And I remember hearing stories from our clients at the time who were telling me horrific stories of abuses that they suffered in these institutions. And we're going back to that very same stuff, that the very same abuses, whether it's medical abuse, you know, systemic abuses, literally having no human rights. We are actually already there. We are not going back to it. We are already there. When SA Health or some little bureaucrat somewhere who needs to feel important and empowered can deny you the opportunity of literally a spit test. All I said was, couldn't I just spit on it? No, I can't even do that.
Yeah, I've noticed how many people who I'm guessing were the kids that probably got bullied at school who are now becoming the bullies.
That's right.
And seeing people such as yourself as someone that they can now pick on because they're empowered. And it really is quite sickening.
Can you imagine? I'm working with people with disabilities within the NDIS space. Now, imagine me saying to a client, I'm sorry, I'm not going to cook your evening meal until you do a RAT test.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? Imagine me doing that, right? No, sorry, I'm not going to give you an evening meal unless you take this aspirin, because it's for your own good, okay? The doctor might have recommended it. You've got high blood pressure, whatever. You have to take it. You now have to take that aspirin before I'm going to cook your meal. Could you imagine that happening?
No, it's just nuts. It's nuts. And had it not been for the last 4 years, we'd be saying they could never do that. They could never do that. And now we're saying, well, they've done it. They've done it. They've done it on steroids.
Absolutely.
And it really is horrific. They know
that there's probably bugger all that you're going to do about it, because you're not going to likely find a lawyer. Well, unless you're going to, you know, have, you know, $40,000, $50,000 to put on the table, they know you're not likely to take them to court over it, right? But in the end, I'm going to appeal to members of the state and federal parliaments, and especially with the Royal Commission into COVID one day, when and if it happens, right? I want them to look into this kind of nonsense, right? The federal government is funding our hospital systems. Our federal taxes are being funding these tyrants to do this sort of nonsense, right? And these sorts of things should make it into the Royal Commission into COVID, you know, and what are the after effects? What are the ramifications, right? They've stripped us of any human or consumer rights as far as being patients in a health system. And we are dangerously, dangerously on that slope of going back into institutions, and our bodies can be used for whatever purpose they deem fit, you know?
Yeah. Just quickly, coming back to you and your health, has there been a resolution? And if not, can you go for a holiday up north, for example, to Queensland, where there might be a little bit more common sense in play?
Well, I guess I should explore that option, shouldn't I? No, there isn't any resolution. Although I'm told that if I go up to Northern Territory, I can voluntarily ask for assisted suicide, can't I?
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Where does it stop?
I know. And I mean, imagine you were someone who was on a mental health precipice, you know, and you're right on the edge, and you go in and they tell you it would push people over the edge. It really would. I mean, government overreach is beyond anything. We keep voting for the same two parties that have absolutely just ruined the country, who are subservient to overseas governments, globalists, Israel, the media. I'm fed up, and we need to start waking up. We really
do. You can whistle Dixie with our Health and Community Services Complaints Commissioner, because he's allowed all of this sort of tyranny to go on for 4 years, unabated, unchecked. No accountability, no names or faces. Yeah, but there you go.
And here we are with an Australian Prime Minister who has now been referred to the ICC for complicity in genocide. And I would suggest not just because of what's happening over in Gaza, but, you know, all these politicians for what they've put us as a population, as a global population, through over the last 4 years, medical tyranny, you know, untested mRNA vaccines, you name it, they've done it to us. And I think we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. And let's hope people start to wake up. Matilda Borden, I thank you very much for your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Take care.
Everybody stick around. Coming up after the break, I'm going to talk to Kasim Chilabi, a man who is an Australian Palestinian. He's an activist, and I don't blame him. Right now, you would want to be super active, because what's going on over in Gaza is horrific. We're going to be back with him right after this break. This is TNT.
Anticipate potential delays for the morning commute. In other news, a recent government report on prescription drug pricing points to corporate mouth.
Freedom of the press is about your right to know.
What are you talking about, man? Look at his stats.
It's about your right to be informed. Your right to access all types of information keeps us free as a nation.
No.
Today, there are real threats to press freedom. And your right to know about the world around us.
Look.
Some threats are obvious, some are easy to miss, but they all put our way of life at risk. We must defend against all of these threats, no matter what kind of news is important to you.
Justified putting American troops in harm's way?
That's a great question.
We must protect our right to know before it's too late. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
JDRF's vision is to create a world without type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes community is at the heart of everything JDRF does. We were founded by the type 1 diabetes community. In the main, we are governed by the type 1 diabetes community, we're energised by the type 1 community, and we're accountable to the type 1 diabetes community. It's on their behalf that we exist, and it's on their behalf that we must succeed. JDRF exists to rid the world of type 1 diabetes. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. So for us, that means rallying all the resources and all the people and all the organisations required to make that a reality as quickly as possible. The world's best researchers, exciting, innovative companies and the passion of the type 1 diabetes community, then delivered through the health system so lives get better every day, day after day, until the day we find a cure. To everybody in the type 1 diabetes community, no matter your age or stage with the disease, whether you were diagnosed recently or a long time ago, we need you to know that we are here working on your behalf to deliver a world without type 1 diabetes as quickly as we can. Thank you to everybody who's supported JDRF in so many ways. You are making our vision of a world without type 1 diabetes possible.
This is the Dean Mackin Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And welcome back to the program. Are you enjoying listening to TNT? Do you think that we're doing a good job? Well, if you do, please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or a comment on Facebook, Gab or Getter? Help us to get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time here at TNT. And there is no bigger topic at the moment than what's going on in Gaza. And, I mean, I was already absolutely beyond disgusted at the absolutely disproportionate, response from Israel, just indiscriminate bombing, killing of women and children in Gaza. And just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, there were some people, just there, some humanitarian aid there to get some flour. Why there were Israeli soldiers there, I have no idea. Just there to pick a fight, I would imagine, and shot people, ran them over. Just wow. It's just absolutely horrific. And the media is not reporting on this adequately. We've got our own Australian Prime Minister referred to the ICC for complicity in genocide, sending money to Israel, a country that, by the way, doesn't need any money. And if you're waiting for America to tell Israel to stop, no, it's Israel that tells America what to do, in case you hadn't already figured that out. People, I promise you that is the case. I'm sure my next guest will agree with me, Kassim Chalabi. He's an Australian Palestinian. He was born in a refugee camp in Lebanon. He's been in Australia for 35 years. He's got a keen interest in politics. He's advocating for human rights, especially for Palestine. And what's even worse, I was speaking to him during the break, and he's confirmed he's got relatives that are currently over in the West Bank. I don't know where to start. Kassim, you go for it.
Well, you mentioned humanitarian aid, but I never seen any humanitarian aid at all. Like these people, like in Gaza, there is no food for them for over 6 weeks in the north, and that's starvation. And I wonder why the whole, international community, they don't want to see it. And they just dropped, 38,000, as I said, because Biden and others, they recognize that they are losing the elections. That's why they drop a few, sandwiches or something, what we call. And on top of that, Israel waiting for these people to get food from the trucks, and they kill them all. Where is the humanity with that?
Right, there is absolutely, there is no humanity. Yeah.
From European Union, they came to Rafah borders to see in their bare eyes what's going on. And they said 90% of the trucks shouldn't be examined to let them in. And so many trucks come and go back to Egypt. Why? Because Israel doesn't want it. And I want the whole community to know that anesthetic is not allowed to get into Gaza. Anesthetic. They want people to die like that. Die out of pain, they are injured, they are sick people, they whatever you call it, and they want them to die, because of they don't have anesthetic, they don't have painkillers, they don't have any sort of these things, yeah. So that's why I say there is no humanity in this war, at all.
And I don't think any other country but Israel would get away with it, because they've got a disproportionate interest in the US government. So many dual Israeli citizens in America, in the CDC. I mean, everywhere where there is a problem that a lot of conservatives have a problem with, if you trace it back, a lot of roads always lead to Israel. And a lot of the problems that Caucasian people or white people think that they have with the Arab community around the world were problems that were created by these people. We all used to get along, and this division, the constant division, it's always the same groups, the media, those that control the media. And I mean, you, like me, Kassim, must be extremely fed up.
Yes, we are, especially with this government. I know the liberals are worse, but still we've been expecting something better. from the prime minister for 30 years or over 30 years, he was pro-Palestine, and all of a sudden switched to the other side. I don't care, you know, like community is community, regardless, you know, like Jews or Christians or Muslims or Hindus. He's the prime minister for all other communities. But him and Chris Minns, they took a side, you know, like with the Israeli. Like Jews, we have no problem with them, you know, because they are part of the community, you know, but at least to be fair, to be on both sides, to call for ceasefire. And I keep you know, like hearing humanitarian ceasefire, humanitarian. What does it mean? Why not immediate permanent ceasefire? I don't know what is the difference. I'm not expert in English, but this wording, always they say that. But when they mentioned the ICC, today in the morning, when I saw the Penny Wong, her interview on ABC, straight away changed. She didn't say humanitarian. She said ceasefire only. Where's the humanitarian? And I keep asking, you know, like the prime minister through emails, you know, like, and foreign minister for immediate, you know, like immediate aid. We don't need money. We don't need money. We need help on the ground there. Yeah. I keep asking for the last 4 months, please open a field hospital. They never listen. You know what they said, Dean? They said, oh, it is not safe. We can send our doctors in there. Okay, Rafah is close, is next door to it. Send them to Rafah.
Yep.
To Rafah borders. They didn't. Even I asked so many ministers, I said, please, we have severely injured people. Dean, you know, like these people stayed in a demolished buildings. They went inside and all of a sudden the building crashed them all. Now we have broken skulls, broken shoulders, broken necks, broken hands, everything. But these people know what, there is no one to treat them. So what is the humanity with that?
Yeah,
ask for humanity, yeah.
I've seen a lot of the video, and not video, the mainstream media shows. I mean, horrific video that everybody should see just to see how bad it is. I mean, you just can't believe the suffering. And just a basic thing that people have to do is go and, you know, go to YouTube and type in Gaza before and after. Yeah. Have a look at the damage. Yeah. And let's have a look at Putin. There's Putin over in the Ukraine. Very few civilian casualties, very little collateral damage, that they are targeted attacks on the people that they wish to attack, and very few women and children are getting bombed. You don't have this level of destruction on women and children by accident. Yes. When you have a military, yes, that is advanced as Israel, this isn't accidental.
Yes, even as a journalist, this is the first time ever in the world, you know, like in history as well, they killed over 130 journalists. What does it mean to you? It means these journalists on the ground, the Israel doesn't want people to know what's going on.
Yep.
Well, this is only, you know, like translation, you know, like this is it. Why America doesn't send, you know, like CNN or BBC or these big, you know, like firms, you know, to go there and investigate? And the whole world only listen to Israeli narrative. They don't listen to the other party because they don't trust them. But why we trust Israel? They accused Hamas with beheading the kids. Where is it? It was a lie. Sexual assault, it was a lie. And now they bring it up again. Why? Because they pay some money to people to accuse the Palestinians. And they know, I'm not, you know, like, I am Palestinian, and Hamas are Palestinians too. They are resistance. They are trying to fight for freedom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I am not Hamas. But I'm Palestinian. I want my country back.
Yeah.
I born in Lebanon, and I'm from Palestine, from the Tiberia, and I never visited my country. But any Jewish from anywhere in the world is allowed to go and have a citizenship and live in there. Not only visit, they can live in there.
I did a very important story on a UK by-election in a place called Rochdale in the UK, and a man named George Galloway ran there. He ran under the campaign of Let's Support Gaza. There was a 44% swing against Labour, 44% swing.
Yes.
He got 40% turnout of the vote where it's not compulsory. And that was, in my opinion, a referendum on which side is right in the world.
Yes.
This is what the people think. The only reason we know it is because of the internet and social yes. media. Because if we relied yes. on the mainstream media, we no. would think we would the have no clue at all. Yeah. So, I mean, let's just say at the moment, thank God for the internet, because, and let's hope that we can continue to have the internet yes. in such a way that we can share these real videos in real time, live stream and whatever else. And of course, you know, they've tried to knock out the internet over there. And thankfully, some people were able to get Elon Musk's, you know, satellite things in there so they can beam the information out. As you pointed out, those that they didn't want the journalists
still
in there.
Mainstream
they
blew them up. Media, still mainstream media, you know, like issue so many lies and lies and lies, but people can see it in social media. Well, luckily we have, you know, like internet in Gaza, so we can see it firsthand. But oh my God, you know, like what these people are thinking? Are people, you know, like giving fake news, you know, like to people? People are smart. They don't need, you know, to listen to them, you know, but they can see it. And still they deny the killing, that there is not much killing. Hamas are killing the innocent people. How come? Do you believe it? No one believes it.
Yeah, no, mate, well, they certainly don't. And the thing is, I mean, Israel really showing their true colors at the moment. Yeah. And again, you know, a group that historically has said, hey, you know, we're victims and you should feel sorry for us. Apparently that sympathy doesn't extend to others, unfortunately.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, my sister is you know, like lives in Jenin. And I told some ministers and MPs, I don't want to name them, that we are looking, you know, the whole world looking at Gaza, but what's happening in the West Bank is even worse. Why? Because they give weapons to settlers to kill the Palestinians in cold blood. And not after 7th of October, even last year. If you Google, you know, like what's going on in or how many people has been killed in West Bank without war, you know, like 1,122. 1,100 people. And so many villages has been deserted because they can't feel safe. They don't feel safe for their life because of the settlers. So where is the safety? Where is the humanity? Where is the world, you know, like, can't see? Only when something, you know, like a big atrocity happens, the whole world say, no, 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 be calm, be quiet, you know, show restraint. Okay, so these people, who will take them to the court? No one.
Yeah, and mate,
I've seen so many.
So you could hope that, you know, some sort of international court would intervene. And again, as I said, leading into interviewing you, you know, people are saying, why doesn't America force Israel to do anything? You see their politicians over there at the Wailing Wall showing their allegiance to Israel. It's almost like Israel run the world. Is it not?
Yes, it is. Because some MPs in America, they said, we need Israel, not Israel needs us. And yes. this war yes. is America against Gaza, not Israel. I know you know, like they don't like long war. They can't afford it. But this do you remember the what's his name, the pilot who burnt himself last week?
Yeah,
you know,
he said
he got some documents to show that he will be sent to Gaza to fight against Palestinians. So what to do with Americans? Same thing. Americans, French, British, Italian, Germans are fighting against us. So how you want us to trust them? We can't trust them. They keep saying, okay, we agree on two-state solution, but doesn't exist. Me personally, I don't believe it. I don't believe in it.
It's a shame. The West has an appalling history. I mean, we have the weapons of mass, I say, distraction over there. You know, a million people killed based on a lie. I mean,
yes.
I was going to say no apology. Forget an apology. How do you apologize for a million dead people? There's nothing you can say, but
nothing.
You can learn.
You can't get them back.
No, you can't, but you can learn not to fall for it again in future. But the West keeps falling for it, time and time again. And a lot of us are just absolutely fed up. There's nothing wrong with the people of the West. It is the governments
exactly.
of the West.
The governments. We don't blame people. People are fantastic. Well, like we have in New South Wales or in Australia as a whole, we have very good supporters. You know, like every Sunday they show us solidarity, real solidarity. You know, like we appreciate that. And people now, they recognize what's going on. At the beginning, you know, like they don't learn, they don't know a lot. But now, as we speak, you know, like they they tell each other what's going on. They share videos. They share articles, you know, like all over the place, 24/7. We keep getting videos. Look at this. Look at that. From Australians, you know.
Yeah.
Why? Because they are humans. They know what's going on in there. And it's an unbalanced war.
And the worst part is, I mean, literally, you know, it's not just cliche. The whole world could get along if you didn't have a group or groups continually pushing for war, for division.
Yes.
And we see it again and again. Kassim, where can people come out this weekend to support you?
Sorry?
Where can people come this weekend if they want to join in a rally?
Yeah, in Sydney CBD, Hyde Park at 1:30. Every Sunday we do exactly the same place, same time. Yeah, and we march around the, you know, like in a few streets, and we come back to the Hyde Park. And, you know, like it is safe. Thanks God, you know, we never had any arrest. And it is like everyone is a friend with each other. And yeah, here we go.
Kassim Chalabi, I would like to congratulate you on the work that you're doing. Mate, I pray for your family and friends over there in Palestine that they have a safe and a favorable outcome. And let's hope that they get the help that they need over there immediately.
Thank you, Dean. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me, mate.
Thank you very much. He's a good fella and he's on the right side of this particular conflict. I can promise you that. Kassim Chalabi. I got to go. It's that time. Sonia Poulton coming up after the break. My name's Dean Mack and this is TNT. I'll catch you all tomorrow. Have a great hump day. Catch you then.